what I have done is when I've used it, when the people answer their phone, I tell them that they are coming over a two-way radio, and they cannot talk when I'm talking, and I can't hear them if I'm talking, and, you know, of course, they can't, you know, they have to quit talking so I can reply to them. And so you kind of give them a real short introduction into that, the do's and don'ts, but, you know, it's, like I said, it works out real well, and I have used it in the past.
I won't hang up on this one. I was just kind of curious about it. Again, I got into ham radio 4 or 5 years ago, and I guess, you know, the cell phone built the auto patch, and it is what it is, but I was just curious. I'm going to turn it back to you, sir. I'm going to get ready for that. I appreciate the info.
I appreciate you hanging in there and talking. Enjoyed it. I know you go to bed kind of early, earlier than a lot of folks. But come in and often as you can and rag you with us a little bit. Love to have you. And folks, David calls the net down there on the Anderson machine, or did. I guess he still does. If he doesn't, he can correct me. But that starts on or about 8:30 on the 7-9 machine. But, David, you have a good evening. Appreciate you coming in here and talking with us, and we'll talk to you a little bit later. Do we have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS.
Good evening, Gary. Please check in KB0, KBJ, Steve. Elizabethtown, North Carolina. No traffic. I'll be here for comments.
Never like to say good evening. KB0, KBJ, Mr. Steve, instead of being in South Dakota, he's in North Carolina tonight. Appreciate you being with us tonight, Steve. Be back to you for some comments in just a few minutes. Tell Miss Megan and the children we said hello. Next up on the stumps, Mr. Al, KI4MLN, down there in Malden. Al, what have you been up to?
But, legs starting to get better, but the pain sometimes is unbearable. But, you know, that's good to hear Steve KB0 KBJ in there. Next couple weeks, I got to get burn them that advanced extra class so I get this license thing over with and get it done. Hopefully my signal's not too bad tonight. I know there's issues, but I hope Steve remembers maybe one night he can run through this transmitter, because this particular transmitter, I found out I locked out something, and boy, there's a lot of VFOs on this thing, and sometimes getting to certain, he showed me originally how to do it, and I was able, years ago I could do it, but now I don't remember. He might remember. But, yeah, did Gary, next thing I have to give me a call. What we might have to do with that SIM card, if my brother doesn't straighten this thing out, we might have to, I'll get you places to send another, I'll call Sue Sally to get two more from these computers so we can get it sent to you so you and I can deal with ourselves and be done with this when we get time. I don't have a lot of, I don't want to hold a repeater up too long. Hopefully I'm hitting it all right. I guess let Steve, KB0, KBJ, pick it up and see what he's been up to. KI4, MLM, let's hope you're hearing me all right.
Well, you have a perfectly crystal clear signal into the repeater tonight. I tell you what, it couldn't be any better. Matter of fact, I went over to reverse, and I couldn't tell any difference in your signal other than the signal strength dropped down just a little bit from what the repeater was. But you're just as clear on reverse as you are through the repeater, but your signal's great tonight.
Eating this thing on receive, I haven't figured it out yet. I got to get an AM radio and go walking around the neighborhood and see what's going on with this thing. And so I'll turn it over to Steve and see what he's doing, and who else. KB0, KBJ, or net control. Actually, turn over net control. But I'm assuming Steve's still in here, so I'm assuming he's probably, I don't know how many other ones you got, but I guess it's time Steve gets it. I don't know.
All righty, Al. Well, I'll I'll give you a call sometime tomorrow, and we'll talk a little bit more then. But in the meantime, you take care of that leg there, buddy, and we'll talk to you a little bit later. Do we have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS. Up on the stump tonight is Mr. Steve, KB0KBJ. Steve, what are you doing in North Carolina?
Good evening, Gary, and all of the net. KB0KBJ here, Elizabethtown, North Carolina, where it's not freezing. Temps. I'm actually outside in my t-shirt. Well, polo shirt. Let's see. I took off Monday from Watertown. You know, it's kind of funny. A few years back, 3 or 4 years back, Watertown did not have commercial air service at all. The carrier bailed, couldn't hold up the contract that the FAA required, and so they said, we're out of here. And so we didn't have air service for about a year. Well, the town leaders, they worked on that, and they got air service. And now we got some pretty good stuff. So, I guess it was on short notice. For only $450, I was able to fly out and to Pennsylvania, into Harrisburg, first to Chicago. That was an hour and 20-minute flight. Then from Chicago to Washington Dulles Airport, another hour and a half flight. Had my GPS going on the phone, and we got some speed going along there. Ground speed is 670 mile an hour. That was pretty quick. And got up above the clouds. Boy, the moon was bright there. I could see Detroit down there off to my left through the clouds, all lit up as we went by Detroit over Ohio. So then I hung around there for a little bit in Dulles and then went up to Harrisburg, which is only 120 miles by as the crow flies. So that plane didn't get up more than 10,000 feet. The guy basically got up there full throttle, 10,000 foot, ran it at full throttle for 5 minutes and cut the throttles back, and he came back down into Harrisburg, and I walked into my motel from that airport. So, and then Tuesday morning I got up, got picked up, and brought to a dealership where I picked up a box van we're going to use for work. And so yesterday, today is Wednesday, so yesterday I drove on down here to my sister's in Elizabethtown, and arrived down here in the evening. So that's where I've been today, and eventually I got to make my way over there and pick up some plumbing supplies. And so that's kind of the reason I'm down this way there, Gary. Over.
Well, Steve, I am so glad that you are been able to visit with your sister. I didn't know that they would fly you all the way down here to pick up a panel type truck for your work. But, they've done crazier things than that, I guess. Some of the people that I've worked for have, But anyway, that's going to be a long drive back. Of course, you've made it before, so you know what it's going to be like. But here at the house, Steve, it's 52.4 degrees. And it's been in the... it's been in the upper 50s today. It was up over 70 yesterday. And so it's a little cooler today, but it's been cloudy all day, and the sun didn't come out much. But I can understand you being in, short-sleeve shirt, coming from some of the sub-zero temperatures that you're accustomed to.
Yeah, I'm looking here at the thermometer, and it's just a shade below 60 here now. Yeah, yesterday night, last night when I pulled into this area, Elizabethtown is a small town. Out in eastern North Carolina, kind of 40 miles south of Fayetteville is where it's at. So, yeah, out here it's about an hour to the coast, I guess they say. But anyhow, pulled in here, and it was 70 degrees at 10 o'clock at night. So that was nice. You know, it's kind of funny. Monday morning I left, Monday afternoon I left. When I got out, I left the house, I put my jacket on, you know, T-shirt, long-sleeve shirt, jacket. Not the full-blown winter jacket, but still an insulated one. But I ain't going to work and being out in it all day, so I just put on my normal jacket, you know. And kept that on, kept that on the airplane, kept it on all day. Took it off at night when I went to bed. Put it on in the morning up in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And started driving south. It wasn't as warm up there, but it was still, you know, warm enough. Compared to South Dakota, of course. But I ain't warmed up yet, no. Finally, about halfway down, temperatures kept going up. And I suppose in the 60s, I kept turning the air, you know, down from full blast hot, you know. Well, I didn't even need that to start with. I kept turning it down. I'm not going to turn the AC on, of course. And although I did just to test it out, I'm like, well, here's a chance. You know, I won't get to test it out. When I get back up north, I won't know if it's working or not. It's already cold up there. So I guess it does work, but I tested that out for a few minutes. But about halfway down, I finally decided, I suppose I could take my jacket off. So I got warmed up after a full day and a half of being in the warm weather or inside buildings, and it's nice, you know, it's really nice to be outside without a jacket, as I am now, and not have my feet freezing and all that good stuff. So I like it. You know, it's I got to tell my sister today, you know, you get cold spells here, but when you live in the cold constantly and there's no break, you kind of even get a different mindset, you know. You just stay cold. So when you come to north to the warm stuff here, it's like, wow, yeah, this ain't so bad. So, yeah, it's nice. Weather-wise, up that way, I guess my wife, she Megan there, she said they didn't have school today. Blizzard. Only an inch of snow, but high winds, so that blow the snow around. So you've got poor visibility, poor roads. Wind chill warnings also. Blizzard warning and wind chill warning. So I guess the wind chill is supposed to be down here 40 below zero. And if the forecast is going right, another buddy of mine, ham radio guy who lives in Kentucky, he kind of likes to keep tabs on where I live up there. It's just a novelty for him and everything. He texted me, he said, did the temperature really drop 17 degrees in 2 hours up that way? I'm like, I don't know. I'm in North Carolina. I'd care less. But I guess it must have really been dropping because they were supposed to go. Well, I think it was supposed to be like 25 for a high today. That was probably this morning. And they're supposed to be about 20 below tonight. 5 below for a high tomorrow, 5 below, 16 below tomorrow night, and then back up to in the mid-20s, which, you know, once you're at 20 below and 0 and 20 below, 25 above, we'll take it, you know. So especially the sun's out, you can actually kind of see something happening as far as snow melting. It's not going to melt away, but you get hope anyhow. So yeah, kind of a sudden dip, you might say, but I'm not experiencing it, so, yeah, yay for them.
Oh, my goodness. Well, when you talk to Miss Megan, you tell her that we said hello and to hug and kiss on the girls for us. I would imagine that would be kind of a shock going from, the 20 below zero to 20 degrees above. That's a 40 degree change any way you look at it. And gosh, that's a big big difference. And I can see the temperature dropping 17 degrees like that, like your buddy up there in Kentucky was asking about. I've seen it do that, and not that I enjoyed it, but I have seen it. We had a real pretty snow here. Gosh, the other day, I think it was on Saturday, we got about two and a half inches here at the house. Sunday afternoon, late, it was all gone. That's my kind of snow.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Well, this winter in general has been another good one. Last winter, give you hopefully a quick recap here of last winter. Last winter was kind of average. I mean, you had some melting going on in December of 2018. You know, it looked like, hey, it could be a nice winter. You never know. Come the middle of January, it set in earnest. January 30th, we had 30 below, 34 below. All of February, never got above freezing. 2nd of March, we had 26 below. Middle of April, we had a foot and a half of snow in a blizzard. Last snow I seen last winter season was May 4th. We had a cool summer, rained all summer. And then, well, we had a record amount of snow last year, last season. Some 85 inches of snow. So that all melted and flooded everything. There's still, if you go look up on the National Weather Service website for Aberdeen, South Dakota, they still got flood warnings out for the James River Valley. They've had them out since last spring, and it's still flooding, even though it's above flood stage, even though it's pretty frozen. So, and we just started in, let's see, we had October, again, we only had I don't know if it was even 180 days of snow-free period between May 4th, but they said April, but I seen it on May 4th. Between April and October, we had 6 inches of snow this year, and then it kind of melted, but then come, that was middle of October, then come November, beginning of November, deer hunting season, it got cold to the point where if you weren't deer hunting, you could go ice fishing. It got that cold, and then it just kind of, you know, started snowing again. I don't think we've had any more than 18 inches of a shot, but let's see, last Saturday, or maybe it was two Saturdays ago, something like that, we had 6 inches of snow, fluffy stuff, really fluffy, not the wind-driven hard stuff, so that was unusual. You just plow right through it, easy. And it was about 25 degrees, so it wasn't really cold, so but it was settling, so I had to snowblow that out of the way quick before it turned into a rock, you know. Best to move the stuff when it's fluffy versus slushy. A lot easier to do. Then I think last Friday morning in another 6 inches. And you know, you got to keep in mind, none of this snow leaves. It just keeps building up. I got snow banks where I've been blowing. I blow a big area out in my city lot there, because I don't like to park near the street. I like to park away from the street. So I park on my lawn, because I don't want to park near the street, because when a snowplow comes by, he'll pile up a 2-foot-high bank next to my car, you know, and then I got to deal with that. So I just parked the cars away from the street. So I clear out on my backyard of snow, and so it ends up being a lot of snow piled up where I do blow it. Right now my apple tree, it's a pretty good-sized apple tree. It's probably halfway up the apple tree, the snowbank is there. It's definitely above it. The how long parallel to the street is that snowbank is chest high or so. Of course, the streets are snow packed. Like I said, nothing melts. So you get, if you had a runner sled, it'd be awesome. Just slide down the street and just wait for more snow. No melting going on. In fact, there was one day, I don't know, somewhere in January, where it did melt. It got above freezing for 2 days, and overnight even, which is unusual. It was drip, drip, dripping everywhere, but it doesn't, you know, when you got that much snow and it's that cold, the cold, snow is cold too, you know. So even though the air temperatures are up there, it's still got to warm up the snow before it can even start melting it, right? And if it's packed down, it's more like ice. But I actually did start to see some tar on the street, and you know, where it was a little thinner, and the cars managed to kind of splash and slosh it away. But then it got cold again, you know, so it snowed more, and then back down to the packed snow stuff. So, yeah, there's the quick version of winter so far, over.
Well, Steve, we haven't had anything anywhere near that, so you know, I'm not going to complain about what little winter we've had. We've had a few days that were, well, they were pretty cold for us, but, you know, you get to talking about some of the temperatures that you've been in and have had going on over the winter. We haven't had a winter here. It's been spring or fall all year, I guess. All this season anyway. I had that one little snow, and I had one other little snow earlier, but it didn't stick and it didn't accumulate here at the house. But, you know, the people go crazy around here when it starts, white stuff starts coming down. They all run to the grocery store, get the milk and the bread, and all of that sort of stuff. They think they're going to be stuck in the house for a week or something. But luckily, this last couple of times, we haven't had any problems whatsoever. And don't care that if we don't have, as far as I'm concerned. But everything's going along good here. But I tell you what, it sounds like a completely different world up there, temperature wise, and the amount of snow and how long it lays on the ground. Still flood warning since last spring. That is amazing. But I can imagine that, you know, they're going to have all the runoff from the ice and the snow that you've got up there now that's not frozen. So it'll continue on for a while, I guess.
Yeah, well, you know, this river valley I'm talking about that here, KB0, KBJ, this river valley, the James River, is a really flat valley west of me. I think that river, I recollect, it starts somewhere up in North Dakota, ends down on the Missouri River, empties into the Missouri in southern South Dakota. And I think it's, let's say, 300-400 miles long. And it only drops, you know, a couple hundred feet in that distance. A good rain shower, thunderstorm will, you know, anywhere along the river will actually make it flow backwards. So it's actually got less drop than your plumbing in your house, which is, well, since I'm into plumbing now, quarter inch is what you need to make everything go downhill at a good rate, you know, and clean the pipes out. It's got less drop than that. So, yeah, it's pretty slow in emptying out. So that is why it stays in the flood advisory for so long. And you know, you can't sink into the, when it melts up there, the ground is frozen, so it doesn't sink into the ground. In fact, our ground moisture up there is so high right now, I don't know, it's over, it's like 100%. It's just the ground can't take any more water, so, and then it's frozen, so when the snow melts, all of a sudden it's got no place to go. It can't go in the ground. It's just got to go down the rivers, which are flat. Then you get flooding. As far as the cold goes, yeah, you kind of, you know, 25 is warm, 15, you know, 10 to 15, that's not bad, you know. When it starts, I'm talking high temps here. You know, when you get about zeros, single digits for highs, yeah, it's getting to be a cold day, but, you know, it's still, you can go outside and sledding. Me and the kids and wife, we went and did that at 4 degrees this past winter. It was sunny, no wind. Wind is a big factor all the time. Really makes a difference in how it feels. It was sunny, no wind, so 4 degrees, who cares? Let's go, you know, went downhill sledding, you know. And there's some days, you know, you'll get below zero temps for highs. But as far as nighttime lows now, you know, I mean, yeah, every night, You know, if it's in the single digits, we don't even pay attention. If it's in the, you know, 10 degree below range for a low, you're like, cold. 20 degree below, you're like, oh, getting cold. 30 below, you're like, okay, now it's cold. You know, anything above 20 below or up to 30 below, you really start paying attention. You're like, wow, that's chilly, you know. And at 40 below, which you don't see too often. I have seen it a few times up there, even in the 20s, 30s. Yeah. Doorknobs start frosting up on the inside of the house, and you're like, wow, yeah, I wonder if I should grab that, if my hand will freeze with the doorknob or not. You're standing on the inside of the house, you know.
This is KI4DOS and the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with KB0KBJ. Well, Steve, I have been in 30 below temperatures before, but the wind was blowing. That's when I was out in, like, Wyoming in that area. We stopped, had to get out and pump fuel. I didn't want to stay outside of the truck, but just, long enough to jump down, open the fuel tank, stick the nozzle in it, and jump back in the truck while the fuel was running. But I don't want any part of that anymore. I get cold. It takes a long time for me to get warm.
I'm not getting any younger either, Gary, and I'm starting to notice that kind of thing happen too. It does take a while to warm back up. That's for sure. So I know what you mean. Yeah, the whole getting out of the vehicle while you're pumping and standing there next to the thing at a tent, you know, they say stand next to your pump, don't let it, you know, do not pay attention to the gas and all that. You're like, yeah, okay, you can do that, I'll be in the truck here, you know. You just watch out your mirror. Make sure the nozzle quits, you know. Wait for the click for it to stop pumping. I had that happen once in North Carolina. What was it? Kentucky. Yeah, Kentucky. I was going back up there. And attention, and I look out the mirror, and whoa, it's just gushing out of the fuel filler. The thing didn't kick off, you know.
Well, unfortunately, Steve, that does happen occasionally. I was in the doctor's office the other day, and this lady came in. I was sitting in a waiting room, and the lady said, do you smell gas? And I said, no, ma'am. She said, come over here next to me and you will. She was standing there, and her pump did not cut off. And before she realized it, she had both of her pants, legs, and her shoes were just full of gas. She stopped and bought her a new pair of shoes, but you could still smell the gas off of her, the pants that she had on, and I would imagine it would take her a little while to get that smell off her feet. I don't blame her for wanting to get in some dry shoes, but I believe I'd have tried to wash my feet a little bit before I stuck them in them brand new shoes.
Yeah, that reminds me of that scene in Dumb and Dumber where he's got gas on his leg and he lights it on fire. He's trying to get the phone number off that one woman. That was kind of funny. Yeah, that'll stay right on you, that fuel smell, that's for sure. Well, let's see, getting on... Megan, the kids, yeah, they're doing all right. I guess the kids come down with some kind of hacking cough here recently, but they're getting over it from the sounds of it. They were sounding like a bunch of sea lions when I left the house, but I guess they're getting over that business, so that's good. Otherwise, they're just perky as ever, and they only do the sea lion hack at night. Otherwise, during the day, they're all running around and spry as ever, so that's good. Although the youngest there, Allie, she was a little mopey, but I guess she's pulled out of it, and she's doing better too, so hopefully they're on the mend. I suggested maybe you should just open the windows and just clean out the whole house, get some fresh air in this place. I think Megan said she did that, and maybe that's why they're finally recovering. Sometimes you get just bad air in the house, you got to air the place out, you know.
Understand completely about airing the house out. We do that on a regular basis here at the house. especially when the temperatures are warm enough to open the windows and we don't have to run the AC or the heat or whatnot, we'll open the windows and just let the fresh air blow through. You know, it lets in a lot of stuff like pollen and, you know, molds and whatnot that's outside. But if you're like me, you go outside a lot and stay outside, that doesn't bother you. That bothers Joy a little more than it does me, but I'd much rather be outdoors than I had inside in a stuffy house.
I ain't got it for about in August. Megan suffers a little bit from that. And the ragweeds and whatever plant it is out there. There's another fella we know in our church there. He kind of has a... It kind of affects him, but I don't think it affects as bad as I've seen some of the folks down here with your pollen. I know not everybody suffers from it, but... some people really do. I remember Dave, W4DJW, saying he went to the dry cleaners one time, and the guy, he just looked like his face is all puffed up and everything. He was really having a rough time of it. Otherwise, in the winter, it's, you know, there's nothing in the air. Even where does it come from? Up in Canada somewhere, you know. So it's pretty clean air. It's just cold. That was nasty, whatever you might have been accumulating, but then you got to heat it back up. But that fresh cold air heats a lot better than the old dry stuffy stuff air, I believe. So it's not so bad in the long run. And seems to help. You know, my aunt, not my aunt, my mom's aunt and uncle, they used to sleep with the window open all night long. I mean, maybe just a crack, but even winter, summer, it didn't matter. They just slept with the window open. And yeah. They lived ripe old age, you know, and I hope they didn't come down with too much, but that's what they did, and it worked for them.
4DOS and the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with KB0KBJ. Steve, hang on a minute. I had a recheck come in there just a minute ago. Let me see who that is. Recheck, go ahead.
Like gasoline store, I had half once.
Oh, God.
I was, and by the way, Steve, cold. I used to deal it. Now my fingers get numb and stuff. I just can't do it. Down here, it seems cold's the worst when it does get cold. Obviously, me or my body can't handle it. I'm horrible. One time I was siphoning gas, good old lead stuff, you know, the good old American lead stuff, the beautiful lead in it. And I was siphoning with a hose. I shouldn't have done it, and I got a drop of it in my lung, just one drop, you know, and I coughed it up. That's how I did it. A drop of vapor got in my lung. I had chemicals. I went to the hospital. The lady goes, "Well, how much did you swallow?" I said, "Well, I was trying not to swallow, to be honest with you." Oh, man. I hate that when that happens. I thought you'd get a laugh out of that one. I had chemical pneumonia, and it was miserable.
Well, I'm sorry that you got chemical pneumonia from gasoline, but I can see how you would. But I'll tell you what, it's what are you not dead sometimes. But I'm glad you're not. You take care and hang in there. Go ahead there, Steve.
Yeah, that don't sound fun. You know, being in the plumbing thing, that reminds me what Al just said about chemicals and whatnot. You know, there's a lot of stuff I've found. I haven't plumbed all my life. I've done construction, but plumbing, I tell you, is a whole different thing. It's a lot of brain work, and, you know, I can see why you need a license and whatnot. Hang on, I got a sneeze here. Maybe I'll be able to make it go away. I'll squeeze my nose. Yeah, I think that worked. But you work in there putting that PVC together, and you got to throw the primer on, you know, and then you put the glue on. Well, that primer is acetone, and you don't even notice it. You get a little scratch or something, and you're like, dee-dee-dee, yeah, and all of a sudden you put the primer on, and it splashes and hits that little cut in your finger or something. And I'll tell you, that thing lights up, and you're like, well, I didn't even know I had a cut there. Now my finger's on fire, you know? And that's some powerful stuff, I'll tell you. I hope it cleanses it, because it sure hurts for what it's worth.
Steve, I tell you, that stuff does burn if it gets in a open spot. I try not to do a whole lot of plumbing. I know enough about it to be dangerous. I can sweat a joint and whatnot and this sort of thing in copper. But the only thing I haven't done is the lead. I hadn't put any lead with the packing and that sort of stuff in. I have watched that done, so I could probably do it, but I don't want to. But I like the PEX and the PVC and all the plastic stuff we got now. It's a whole lot easier to work with, especially in tight spaces. You can cut a piece and put your glue and your cleaner and all that stuff on there, the primer, and stick them together without a whole lot of problem. But where you got to get a torch in there and solder the things together or try to pour lead in it, I don't want any part of that.
Yeah, no, that I don't know if you, I got you right in what you mean as far as lead. I mean, pretty much everything's lead free nowadays, very little amounts, unless you're talking about the solder itself. And we don't even, it's not even lead solder, it's some other makeup. It doesn't solder quite as easy, doesn't melt as easy, but you got to get the pipes hotter, you got to have a hotter torch. And if you're outside, see, we'll make up the shower valves. I make them up, and they're copper. And then I put adapters to the PEX on them. But making them up in the trailer outside, and you get the slightest breeze with the cold temps we got, and we need a pretty good torch to overcome that from taking the heat away from your fittings quick. But I get her done, and then after that it's all PEX. But up there it's so cold, you know, the PEX just, we got in rolls. It's not the straight stuff, and we expand it versus crimp it. It's we can crimp it, but we expand it the way we do it, and put a ring around the end, a PEX ring around the end, expand both the pipe and the ring, and then they contract down and back onto the fitting. You slide the fitting in, there'll be an elbow or a key or whatever, in quickly after you've expanded it, and it'll contract down. Works great in warm weather. Cold weather, though, as we have, it's really slow. You got to hold the fitting there. Come on, shrink, 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 you know. And you put pressure to it sometimes. Yeah, you'll find a leak, you know, here and there, and you go around and listen, and, oh, a leak. And you wiggle, yeah, that's a leaky spot. Blast it a few seconds with the torch and help it to shrink down quick. So, yeah, the cold is not quite as good, but, it's expanding is good. Fittings are bigger inside diameter. You got volume there, and when you expand it, you put it together right away versus crimping it. If you forget a ring to crimp a ring, you know, then all of a sudden you're leaking. It looks like it's, you know, it's hard to tell when you're crimping it whether it's crimped or not. So if you haven't crimped it, you forgot, well, then you're all of a sudden going around re-crimping and trying to weasel your crimpers in there, you know, maybe in some tight spots. So anyhow, that's what we do. We got these little battery-powered Milwaukee tools shoving the end of the pipe, and it opens it up and put it together.
Well, Steve, when I was talking about the lead, that's with cast iron pipes. You put in a packing, it looked something along the lines of coconut fiber. It's horsehair or something of that nature. You'd pack it in there with that, and then you had a pot out on a stove that had lead in it. You would actually take a dipper, something like you might dip water with, and dip it down in the lead and pour it into the joint. And the fibers in there, the packing, would wick it around, and of course, after a moment or two, it would seal. But that's the leading that I was talking about, and they don't use cast iron anymore, which is a good thing. As far as I'm concerned, one, it's real heavy. Two, it's aggravating, and three, it's hard to fool with. Any way you want to look at it. But that's the deleting I was talking about. But yeah, the some of the solder does have lead in it, I guess, tin, that sort of thing. But anyway, plumbing has changed a bunch in not too many years. You know, it's I'll say in well, probably less than 50 years, it's changed a whole bunch.
Yeah, KB0, KBJ, yeah, that's for sure. We do go into some older houses, do service work or remodel in older houses and buildings and more commercial buildings, maybe apartments. And we do see that cast iron and sometimes have to tie or PVC into it, and we do that with a rubber coupling that has metal bands on it. Silicone around inside the coupling first to get a good seal and help it, you know, and then... yeah, the only dealing I've had with cast iron is carrying it out of the basements after I've cut it out, you know, dropped it on the floor and lugged it off. So I don't have to deal too much of that. Sometimes you run into galvanized lines where, you know, those are the pressure one supply side. And I'll tell you, up there in South Dakota, they don't got very good water. I know a one apartment building, they had a leak in the galvanized, I think it was a 2-inch line, main line. So I cut it out and I replaced it, put some adapters in, PEX adapters, and replaced it with 1-inch PEX. So I went from originally a 2-inch line to a 1-inch, but I had that piece of pipe, galvanized pipe, 2-inch pipe, just 2 feet long. And I couldn't even see through it. It was that loaded with rust inside. You know, it just rust from the inside out. I couldn't even see through it. It's like, how do you know, this thing is supplying how many apartments with, it's, you know, I can't even see through the thing. I don't know if there's a quarter inch amount of water going through there, a quarter, you know, small amount of water. No wonder they got low water pressure. So, yeah, that water is hard up there. I don't know what you guys got down here as far as hardness of water, but I know it's pretty good water, at least where you guys are. But up in Upper Michigan, it's awesome water. It can be. There's places that it isn't. But for example, my cousin, I mean, I look at the drains, the old drains and stuff, no spots, nothing wrong with them, no rust, corrosion. It's like, yeah, they got good water. This thing isn't even rusting out. You know, you don't replace your water heaters. No need for softener salesmen. I took the water, I tested it, 2 and 3 grains hard. It's like, yeah, you don't need a water softener for that. South Dakota, where they pipe in water, even out in the country, rural water, you'll pay for it. You know, they pipe the stuff 20 miles, you know, it's all over the place. That still comes into your house, and they're getting it from what they consider a good spot, you know. It's still 23 grains hard. Watertown has 23 grains hard water. And if you get it out of the ground, like at my uncle's, he's got 23 grains hard water coming out of the rural water supply. He pays for that, and he still softens that. But the stuff coming out of the ground at his place, he drilled a well. That's over 100 grains. I mean, it nearly stands up as it comes out of the pipe, you know?
B0, KI4DOS, and the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, KB0, KBJ. Steve, that's we've got soft water here. Years ago, our water tasted better than it does now because they now put fluoride in the water. But years ago, they didn't put fluoride in it, and it tasted a whole lot better, and the water seemed to be softer then. I don't know that it was. Just, you know, to me, it seemed softer. But I can't imagine water that hard. I guess it's hard to get out of the ground. It being that hard, you know, and heavy, it would have to have some more weight to it.
I don't know if it does or not. I guess I never thought of that, but it sure leads toward a lot of calcium in it. It plugs up the water heaters. You know, you'll have a buildup. Half your water heater will be full of water. Or full of calcium, so the water heater takes hard water and, you know, all the minerals and it collects there, and when it gets heated up, and so you have to water heater. 15 years, you get a, if you can get 15 years out of water heater up there in South Dakota, that's doing pretty good. You know, there are some places they don't last 5 years. So you got to, you know, if you know anything about it, it's probably best to clean them out every year, knock the calcium. They're becoming flakes out there of calcium, you know. And you see it coming out of a house that doesn't have water softeners, just all crusted around the faucets, you know, especially the sprayer nozzles. They just plug up and start squirting every which way. And so it's kind of nasty stuff for sure. It doesn't taste good. I mean, your coffee don't taste as good. You got to use a half a bottle of shampoo to wash your hair. Maybe not quite that much, but you get the gist. It just makes a big difference, you know. And everything's kind of crusty, and yeah, it's what you deal with, I guess. There is worse water. My brother down in Texas, he said he was at the store. There was these new houses being built out in the subdivision, but they were having a tough time selling them. The reason was because of bad water. He met a guy in the store. Guy was walking out of the store with a pallet full of salt, softener salt. And he's like, wow, that's quite a bit of salt. He's like, yeah, go through about a bag a day. You know, South Dakota, where we're at, using rural water, you maybe go through 4 bags a month. This guy was pumping a bag a day. The thing is, the softener must have been running all the time.
I don't have to do that around here. But I would imagine if he was going through a bag a day, that softener was running constantly. It didn't ever get a day off.
I guess that's the reason why they were having a tough time selling houses, because people who did their research before knew that don't buy one there, you ain't gonna get no good water. Well, I guess I've held it up long enough. Pleasure chatting with you, Gary. Hopefully I'll get down that way and be able to talk to you on the radio here next week. But for now, we'll say goodnight. And sounds like you've had a pretty good net here. We're going on 11 o'clock. I went to check in at 8 o'clock. And then I realized I was on Eastern time zone. I was like, oh, yes, another hour. You know, 8 o'clock is not in South Dakota, 9 o'clock here. So, anyhow, you have yourself a good evening. We'll catch you later, Gary. KF4DOS, KB0KBJ.
Okay, Steve. Well, I tell you, it was really, really good talking with you. Your ears should burn quite often. There's a lot of folks down here that talk about you quite on a regular basis. But anyway, I hope to get to talk to you on the radio in the next couple of days or so. But you take care when you get back home, or when you talk to Megan again. I'm sure you'll call her after a while or tomorrow sometime. Tell Miss Megan we said hello and hug and kiss on the children for us. But you take care. Be careful out there on the roads as you drive, and we will talk to you a little bit later. Do we have any other check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS.
Yeah, recheck one more thing, Gary.
Go ahead there, Steve.
Yeah, would you send me your telephone number? Text that to me if you still got mine. You've got a pencil paper there. I'm sure I don't. 605-956-7910. Send me your telephone number to get in touch with you when I get that way over.
I'll do that in just a minute.
All right. Thanks, Gary. KB0KBJ.
Any other check-ins or anybody else that would like to make a comment, call KI4DOS. Just going to about wrap it up tonight. Appreciate all you fine folks checked in with me tonight. Come back tomorrow night and check in with Mr. Matt. Whiskey Golf 4 Mike Charlie. They will be calling the net tomorrow evening. W4NYK, are you ready for a net report? Please copy my routine number 7, Blue Ridge 2-meter net report for the 12th of February, 2020. I had 58 check-ins and 2 pieces of traffic. Pal copy, over. folks. This is KI4DOS, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. We're doing thanks for all those folks checked in with us tonight. We will now return the repeaters to normal amateur use. 73, good night, and God bless. This is KI4DOS, clear.